Where next for unions after VW workers in the South vote to join the UAW? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. We're following a landmark moment for the labor movement in the U.S. For the first time, auto workers at a foreign-owned plant in a southern state have voted to unionize. It was a landslide victory for the United Auto Workers at a Volkswagen of Germany plant in Tennessee. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with more.
Yeah, David, it was in fact a big victory at that Chattanooga plant. 2,600 workers cast ballots in favor of joining the union. There were about 1,000 votes against. So that's quite a comfortable margin of victory, better than 2-1. And remarkable because when the UAW last tried 5 years ago, it didn't manage to crack 50% of the vote. But it's gotten an assist this year. The big pay raises and benefits the union won in negotiations last year with the Detroit 3, that's helped. The Detroit 3, of course, being GM, Ford, and Stellantis. At the VW plant in Tennessee, the workers are just getting started, of course. Now they begin negotiations for their first contract.
Now, during voting, Republican governors of six states in the South had issued a joint statement warning workers not to vote for the union, saying the move threatened jobs and, quote, the values we live by. Meanwhile, the UAW is already looking beyond VW. Where next?
Well, when it reached those deals with the big three, the union made no secret of the fact that it would be redoubling its efforts at southern plants. It's already launched another unionization campaign, this one in Alabama at Mercedes-Benz plants. That vote happens to be in the middle of the next month, and some analysts believe it will be a tougher fight. There are a lot of auto plants in the South, some 150,000 workers in all. Companies such as Toyota, Nissan, and BMW are located there. And the UAW has been trying for years to unionize those plants. It's faced a lot of resistance from those governors, typical political opposition, and also a lot of anti-union sentiment. Some of that resistance appears to be cracking now, David, but to what extent? Well, the vote next month in Alabama will give us a better picture.
All right, Nova, thank you. Tesla, soon after telling employees it's planning to lay off 10% of them, is cutting the price of what it has been calling its full self-driving system to $8,000 now, a third off. It's called full self-driving, but it's unable to drive itself. There needs to be a person at the wheel, eyes on the road, hands at the ready. It's also cutting prices on 3 of 5 Tesla models. Quarterly results are due tomorrow afternoon. The U.S. is home to 1.4 million people from El Salvador, a low-income Central American country with a population of 6 million people in total. Using American Immigration Council numbers, Salvadorans in the U.S. often work physically demanding construction jobs or, at number two, janitorial jobs, especially in Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., and Houston, where they have been longtime members of the organized labor scene. Marketplace's Elizabeth Troval reports.
It's early April, and hundreds of Houston-area janitors are marching past skyscrapers downtown. There are Garifuna drummers from Honduras and a twist on a classic Chilean protest song. These Latin American workers are in the Service Employees International Union. In the crowd is Nuria Gomez de Gonzalez from El Salvador. She tells me they're fighting for better wages and benefits. She's been cleaning Houston offices for almost 20 years. Her pay was around $5 an hour when she started. Now it's a little over 13. She says she's gone to marches like this to advocate for better wages several times since local janitors won their first contract in 2006. She's one of more than 5,000 janitors in Houston from El Salvador. Salvadorans here make up roughly 10% of janitors while being less than 3% of the workforce, according to the American Immigration Council. At a nearby park, Gomez de Gonzalez fills me in on how she ended up cleaning office buildings in Houston.
Vive mucha violencia doméstica.
Escaping an abusive ex in El Salvador, she came here looking for opportunities to support her children. She She's been able to do that over the years with her right to work under temporary protected status. Immigrants like her come together to fight for better work conditions and pay to survive in this country, she says. She and her husband, who's from Honduras, together take home about $3,000 a month. Most of that goes towards ever more expensive rent and groceries. A lot of what's left over goes back home. Hundreds of dollars are sent to El Salvador each month on investments in property and helping family members. It's a huge economic engine for communities in El Salvador, says University of Michigan economist Dean Young.
The remittances that migrants send back do go directly first to the households that they originally came from, but that money spreads out in the community via, you know, multipliers.
In other words, the working class wages people like Gomez de Gonzalez are fighting to increase don't just improve the lives of Salvadorans in the U.S. They're also a pillar of the Salvadoran economy. In Houston, I'm Elizabeth Trovall for Marketplace.
Tomorrow, we'll have a report from El Salvador itself on moves to make that country safer and to help energize its struggling economy. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. APM, American Public Media.